This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. You're back with it once again. It's another Wednesday, so it means more time hanging out talking about advertising, talking about the beautiful game of advertising. It's been an interesting week. It's been a dope week of advertising. Got to shout out a couple of people. Got to shout out to all those people that are going out to Cannes. You know, those unfortunate few people that are gonna be going out there. See, it's crappy. It's shit. I've been there a few times. It's just beautiful people everywhere. You know, it's not real. It's plastic. You know, it's just sunshine everywhere. Girls from all over the world, advertising people from all over the world. It's crappy. No one likes it. Just some of the best speakers in the world. I got to see a Kanye talk out there. Crappy. Got to see Bill Clinton out there. Not great. Yeah, you're pretty much gonna hate it. And I think that anybody who has any kind of ambition of going out to Cannes, it's not what everybody makes it out to be. It's not as amazing as people make it out to be, because it's ridiculously that and much more. So the Envy Cup runneth over completely. And in fact, what we're going to be doing is that in a couple of minutes, we're going to be chatting to one of these people, one of these unfortunate bad boys who are going to be going to Cannes. No one likes that kind of thing. But also today, what's most important is that it's also the week of Youth Day, this forming a part of Youth Month. It's a very, very important day, as we all know that... are you okay there, Duncan? Yeah. As we all know that Youth has left Duncan, so he's sneezing. So I think it's a very, very important part of our calendar, and that it speaks to advertising has always seemed like it finds its soul in its young people, and I think that the Youth Day is a big signifier of just how big the young people are to this game. And that's exactly why you'll understand the kind of guests that I have with me today. Some people who've done some amazing things. Some young people, others younger than the group, but it's okay. They'll tell you themselves. And you see how these people have done some amazing things, and in their tender age, you know, they've essentially made things that have gotten us talking, that have gotten South Africa talking, advertising that's gotten all of us out of our seats, that has won them one or three awards around the world. And essentially, it's just started being a part of what's shaping South African culture today. Once again, as is with advertising people, there'll always be one. There's always one that's late. There's always one that feels like it's okay to make us wait for them. But this is not that kind of party, Tipi Tang, wherever you are. I think it's important for you to understand that you are still youth, and the importance of youth is understanding the value of time. Because that is necessarily one of the big things that we trade in is time, and you are late, Tipi Tang, but it's okay. The show is going to go on. In fact, the show is actually going to start because Tipi Tang maketh not a Youth Day show. So in front of me right now, I've got two amazing creatives from FCB Africa. I think it's important. I'm going to just give them an applause before I even tell you who they are. I'm gonna give it the applause. I've got with me in front of me right now, Mr. Tepo Musweu, an art director slash designer from FCB Africa. Sorry. How you doing, Tepo?
Good to be here.
Yeah. I want to say that once again. Me and my desk, we're having a bit of fun. Yeah. Good to have you on the show, man. What have you been up to? What you doing?
Babysitting TP. Clearly, I'm not doing a good enough job because he's still not here. But yeah, other than that, you know, the usual drill, come up with scripts, concepts, all types of things.
Yeah. Tepo and TP work on an iconic brand that is Wimpy, amongst a whole bunch of other things. Them and our next guest that I'm going to introduce to you right now. And tell me, you know, ever since, and I'm gonna put me out there as well. Ever since I left you guys out there, Tepo, what's it been like, man?
It was sad for the first hour. we've been moving from strength to strength, and it's been obviously the culture changes a little bit when people move.
Yeah,
but we adapt and we move forward. But it's been great. It's been good. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I actually have to commend you guys. You guys have been doing some really, really great stuff. But we'll get into that. We'll get into the details of what you guys have been up to. And right next to Sebo is another great creative, a great budding creative, Miss Kanye Mpumlani.
Oh, you know my surname.
You thought I was gonna say Miss Kanye M. What's up, Kanye? Now, Kanye, you've been in the game for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You've recently. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
My first one is.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That noise you heard coming in was TP Deng. Hey. He is late, so we will give him shit about that in a little bit. But let's get back. Let's stop his rudeness for a little bit. Let's get back to Kanye, because Kanye was about to tell us something. Kanye, like I was saying, you've been in the game for about 3 or so minutes.
Yeah.
What's it been like? How have you found advertising? How have you found FCB?
FCB is great. Like, it's crazy. A lot of very interesting people, a lot of fun people. Yeah, advertising as a whole.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Every
time someone says interesting and they speak about advertising, I worry, but I also want to ask them. I want to ask them, what do you mean by interesting? But we'll get into that. We'll get into that.
We need to talk about land.
Right?
Ad land, sorry.
Oh, you're doing this thing. Okay.
It feels I've got the right people here. Alright, cool. So before we get into TP, let's make TP wait a little bit. TP is late. We're gonna talk to one person who's on his way to Cannes, actually. Another young advertising creative. I don't know, do we have him on the line already? Okay, cool. So on the line we have none other than Mr. Melusi Mlu Mlungu. Did you say Mlungu?
Like, yo, this phone call thing is so weird. It's so creepy because I've been on the line, but I can't say anything. I don't know.
Yeah, you must wait your turn, boy. You must wait your turn to speak.
It's a creepy thing.
What's up, man? How you doing? How you doing, Mlu?
Oh, good, doggy, and you?
Awesome, man. Are you excited about your trip? So Mlu, like I said, is one of those unfortunate people who are going to find themselves in the south of France. In the next couple of hours.
So sad.
You leave tonight, don't you? Come on, tell us about it. Tell us about your trip, Mlu. Tell us what you're going to be up to.
Yeah, man, I leave at like 7 this afternoon. So
in the evening, Ogilvy, yes, thank you. Afternoon.
Yeah. So Ogilvy has this thing called Ogilvy World Class.
That's what
they do is they choose like 10 young creatives around the world, and they get them to Nice, and what we do is we work on a brief, and hopefully that stuff gets made, we present to client. So everything, it's almost like a workshop that happens over the Cannes period, and yeah, we get to go to Cannes while we're at it. It's work plus play, I guess.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're not just going to be like, you know, walking around looking at amazing looking foreign women. You're actually going to be working.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully on getting foreign-looking amazing women, but also real ones.
Yeah, but Mlu, you used to work. I mean, I'm sitting with a whole bunch of FCB cats out here.
Yeah,
you used to work at FCB, right?
When you said Kanye's been in the game for 3 minutes, I was like, never. She's been in the game for 4 minutes.
yes, that's what's up. But I mean, you used to work at FCB as well. Tell us about your journey from moving from FCB, going into Ogilvy, and how much of a transition was that for you?
Yes, backstabbing us, Mlu.
You are late. You don't recognize me. Even I was on the phone and I was early. How do you get beaten by a guy who's on the phone?
Yeah. Come on.
So 2 years ago, almost 2 years in November this year, I moved from FCB.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, can you say it? Everything that she said about FCB is very true. Like, obviously, all the crazy people. But I guess you find that everywhere. You know,
that's right.
And when I moved from FCB to Ogilvy, I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Is this the right thing? Obviously, there was that nerve and that panic. But I just thought I needed another change, another dimension.
That's right.
To work on other clients that Ogilvy had that I actually had always wanted to work on. And so the change was also, I'll say, was also to be kind of working with Neil a bit because I still wanted to learn more from the man.
This is Neil Mashego, right?
Yes, Neil Mashego. So yeah. I still wanted to learn more from the man. So it was a perfect time, obviously, before he decided to jump ship from the whole advertising thing.
Yeah.
So I think that the transition wasn't too drastic because, like you said, we remained with the same friends.
That's
right. Neil was my boss before he moved to Ogilvy. And the guys that I worked with at Ogilvy, I'd already known while I was at FCB. So the transition was not so bad. And I guess, well, client-wise, that was a big change because I went from working on a car brand to working on like a TV brand car brand to selling chicken. You know, so that was a big change.
But selling is selling is selling, isn't it?
Selling is selling is selling. And good ideas is good ideas is good ideas.
Yeah.
No matter where you are.
Okay. Well, that's dope, Mlu. Well, you know what? We're not gonna keep you from going to hang out. You know, you told me you're going to get Forex. You know, young people, Forex.
American. You know, I gotta get the Forex.
So we're not gonna keep you too long, man. But I mean, before you go, I mean, I'm interested. What do you think that, you know, if you were to, because what Mlu also is neglecting to tell you is that he also won the Young Creative Award last year at the Louise, and yes, the Young Creative Award at the Louise. And
yes,
that's
yes, yes.
and that's the reason, that's part of the reason why I think that, you know, he gets considered for stuff like this. If you could tell one young person like one, just one short piece of, don't give us this last speech that you just gave us now, because you said a lot of words in this past link. Just one short thing that you would say to one young person who wants to find themselves where you are right now, trying to get about to get on a plane to go to France to do some big things. What would that one thing be?
Advertising is not an easy game. It's a numbers game. And the more ideas you have, listen, the more ideas you have, the better your chances of winning things. And I never used to realize this, but if you come to a review with two ideas, your boss is going to bomb two ideas. If you come with 10 ideas, he's going to bomb 8, and you've got two dope ones. So, and I've always kept that ratio, is the more stuff you come up with, the more chances of someone recognizing the dope stuff out of things you produce.
So dope.
So yeah, keep trying, keep pushing those numbers.
Okay, fantastic.
Keep coming up with more ideas.
Okay, cool. All right, leave us. We're gonna hang out.
Okay, bye, boys.
Have a dope trip,
I'm
man.
Thinking about TV, though.
Yeah. cheers, Mlu. That was Mlu Mhlungu on his way to Cannes. He's gonna have a great time. Like I said, it's crappy. He's gonna pretend that he's gonna have a great time. It's not as great as people make it out to be. so let's go back to our guest who decided that it might be a good idea to come join us. Tippy Deng.
How are you guys
dang
doing?
Tippy. Dang.
Welcome, man. Welcome. What's going on, Tippy, man?
I'm all good. How are you doing, Mr. Stole?
I'm very well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're on mic one. So Tippy, man, tell us what are you up to? What are you doing? Tip was telling us that he pretty much babysits you. and that's exactly why you were late today, is that he babysits you.
I have to play PR. Like, part of my copywriting is me playing PR with the rest of the office.
What does that mean?
They want to chop this guy's head off half the time I'm in the office. So I have to be...
Because I'm the only one that says no when they're being crazy.
They're saying no, and then there's what you do.
I spent some time with TP and Tempo when I was at FCB, and I think anybody who's ever encountered the team knows exactly what TP is referring to. In that Tempo needs a little reining in every now and then.
In
the learning how to say no department. You know, they're saying no, and then they're saying fuck no. and Tempo is quite versed in the land of fuck no.
Look, guys, it's good to be firm but fair, and I think I'm a firm gent.
Firm but fair, he says. Right. Firm but fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, cool. So guys, I mean, you know, the reason why I brought you guys out here is because of the whole Youth Day thing, you know what I'm?
Yeah.
And having said it up front, you guys have done some amazing things.
Yeah.
For people who have not necessarily been in the game for a very, very long time, you guys have done some amazing things. And I'm always, you know, an advocate for saying, I've always said about advertising, like, unlike most other places where your experience kind of makes sure that you are better than the people who've just come in.
Yeah.
Advertising's weird like that.
Yeah.
Like kids that could just be coming on could whip your ass immediately.
Yep. Yep.
You know, because it's about staying relevant. It's essentially really just about knowing your shit.
Yeah.
And the great thinking. So I'm gonna start with you, Kanye. What are the say in the past say 6 to 12 months? I mean, I know what it is, but tell the listeners out there what some of the campaigns are that you worked on recently, and kind of what, and just kind of tell us what your process is, and you know, it's amazing how you can go from, like Mlu said, you can go from food brands. You know, I know there's some food brands that you worked on, and other types. Tell us what is the stuff that you've worked on recently.
I did a thing with a teddy bear once.
A thing with a teddy bear?
I don't know
this is that kind of show. This is not that kind of show, Kanye. There is a sex show that is on another time. I will give them your details. But for now, let's talk advertising. Let's not talk things with teddy bears.
Yeah, so MTV, that was a fun thing, and until they broke it, but it was fun to make.
What do you mean until they broke it? Who broke it? No, without getting too flashy, I know. Now I have to make you understand something as well, Kanye. On this show, it's very easy to find yourself in the inflammatory space.
Yeah.
Okay? So just watch it a little bit, and you'll be fine. Just watch the words that you're saying, or give me a signal of when to just like play a song while you're doing it. But I remember that when I was still with you guys at FCB. We worked on the Wimpy brand.
Yeah.
And I remember that in the very, very beginning, you had all these amazing ideas from jump, you know?
Aww.
And which is a part of why I kind of brought you here today. So what I was hoping you'd go to is to tell us about, you know, for example, has your process from when you were at school, you know, conceptualizing at school, has the process changed since now you are inside the agency?
Drastically.
Yeah?
Like,
how so?
Drastically. It's such a weird thing. Like at school, they tell you, no, think big. And it's like these completely unrealistic things. It's like, oh, yeah, you can put a billboard on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, technically, you can, but no one has the budget for that kind of thing.
And then you get to like places like FCB. Like even before I even thought of advertising,
yeah.
I was in a space where I was writing, on this date, this and this happened.
Wow.
So and so had this to say about it. You know, like,
right.
So I went from that space to a completely different thing where my writing now has to become like real storytelling,
right,
and like
right.
concept. And that was, I think, the most difficult part of it, because like what you learn at school is completely different to what actually goes on. And you get about 4 weeks to work on a brief, whereas we get like 3 days,
4 hours.
Yeah.
So that's amazing, because I mean we have touched on that before. Like, so are you saying then that, you know, the way that you are taught at school is so completely different that by the time you get into the office job, you completely have to like learn completely different things.
Yeah,
but
I think
that's a good thing, because in the sense that what school has to do is like expand your mind completely. And then when you get into the office, that's when they rope you in.
Right.
And you pick the cotton.
Bad too. As opposed to...
Kanye's going to be trouble. Pick the cotton, she says.
As opposed to it being the opposite way, where they didn't quite expand your mind at school. Now you get to this office space and they need as many crazy and wildest ideas as possible.
Right.
Yeah, that would... Yes, yeah.
That's
rather
amazing.
Have it the other way. Put the billboard on the moon at school.
Yeah.
And then when you get to work, they're like, hey, all right, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I mean, that's a bit of a crazy thing, though. Like, I always used to have arguments with my lecturers about...
No, really?
Not you.
Just because...
No, I'm sorry.
just because, like, if you think about it logically, right? Thanks, Grant. I needed that.
I
needed
DeMarco.
That. If you think about it logically, like, you misinforming the youth, right? Because like, if you know, and I know the purpose of it is to train the mind to like think as far as possible. But if you know that there are certain constraints, rather simulate those constraints in the environment than like put them in a situation where the kid gets there. Like you see it a lot with like interns and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Where they get there and they're trying to craft an award-winning piece out of something that's like, I don't know, a squeezeback or something.
Yes, you know what I mean?
That's not practical.
You don't know, you haven't heard about the squeezeback awards? You don't know that there's a new category in Cannes.
I'm probably just beefy on them because they're never gonna let me win one. You know.
But it's an interesting thing. Teppo, you kind of, you know, like I said, I introduced you earlier, and I said that you're an art director slash designer. Mm. You know, so you kind of, you are versed in both disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. But you started out in design. Mm-hmm. You know, so what was that like? What was the journey like from going, you know what, I'm gonna go from just being, you know, traditional sense, a designer. Does that even exist anymore? Does it exist that anybody can be, you know, just a designer without being an art director, and vice versa? But how was your journey? How was your journey from design to art direction?
I think, of course, I mean, there's subtle differences. But I think as a whole, like Massimo Vignelli said, that if you can design one thing, you can design everything.
That's what's up.
And like at the end of the day, design is the thinking process and not the manifestation, you know. It's not the graphic design or the fashion, you know.
Yeah.
It's the thoughts that you go through to get to the interesting, cool thing.
That's what's up.
And at the end of the day, art direction, although it doesn't live in a 2D form necessarily, it's really the same thing. So,
that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Wow. I hope you guys are hearing this. Niggas quoting Cats. Huh? Hmm? So when he when he's out there saying no or fuck no, as he wants to say, you better know he's backing that shit up.
Yeah.
And TP, I mean, you're a writer by training.
Yeah.
But I mean that's like, you know, like it is these days, that's a very it's a loose title.
Yeah.
Tell us about, you know, what is TP's day like? You know, what is your day to day kind of entail?
Hey, well, it's the squirmish looks I get as I walk in at
11 o'clock.
9:30.
Yeah. Wonder about 12.
But you know, I always say that people think that you work when you get to your desk, and that's ridiculous. My day starts with me thinking of everything that I'm working on, and just like playing around with it, like be showering and just thinking of this idea.
Playing around a bit in the shower.
Eating breakfast and
in the shower. Yeah.
It's something that I think a lot of people in the industry need to learn, that you sitting by your desk doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting work done. I think advertising doesn't happen, and it's so true. Advertising doesn't happen at your computer.
Right.
It's the insights and the people you meet at on a Friday night at Great Dane.
Right.
That pull in a mad story that eventually becomes an ad. I mean, I bet you a countless writers and art directors in the game will tell you of a story that they heard that they turned into an advert.
Yeah. That's right.
And I mean, that's the thing that Grant once said to us, actually. Yeah. That what you should learn to do is just go to a public space and eavesdrop. Be the nosy guy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly it.
Because that's what your characters and all of these stories and...
No, completely. Completely. I mean, I still believe that entirely. There was a time when every time you looked at the TV, every ad, almost every ad was either in an office space or it was at the gym. Or it's in the car. Because if you actually think about it, those are the three places that most creators find themselves in.
Yeah.
So essentially everything that everyone could relate to just was everything just around them.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because of how I don't want to say professional, but how more rigid I think the game has become.
Yeah.
In that, you know, there's the beautiful timesheets. You know? And those timesheets I think are kind of logged on the time that you spend at a desk, like you say, Turbo, as opposed to how much have you actually gotten done. So as opposed to trading in the ideas and trading in the space of what we actually work with, we actually trade in time.
And
that time doesn't necessarily mean that it's time actually spent working. So I do like to ask, you know, just also to inspire people who come from far, like Limpopo, to know that it's possible that there are guys just like them who are here. Tippy, tell us how advertising happened to you, man. I know you have an interesting story about how advertising happened to you. How did you find yourself in this amazing industry?
I mean, I'm from Polokwane, Flora Park.
Stand up.
What up? Kehlia Street. Oh,
Say that rhyme, dog. Say that rhyme you tell us.
No.
I'll say it.
Is it a rhyme?
What? I'm from
Limpopo, where the popos limp.
No.
I like it. I like it. I'm with you. I like it. No. All right. Let's get back to it.
So I'm from a place where like advertising is the last thing that you do. Like no one there, you don't go into advertising. I'm from a place where 90% of my friends, 95% of my friends are all engineers and accountants. So the creative realm hit me by mistake because I was going into mechanical engineering and luckily I failed.
Lucky engineering.
Lucky building.
Yeah, because you can't be late for a building thing, dude. Because now... Okay, I think we got the picture.
But like...
Oh, beautiful. But yes.
Luckily, my matric didn't work out so well. And
who says that, Tippy?
Now that is a message for you.
Luckily, my matric did not work out so well.
Because it gave me time to reflect. It gave me time to say, Joe, is this really what you want to do?
Right.
Do you want to be this maths guy and stuff? And I was doing comedy quite a lot that time. So
Stand-up comedy.
Hey, I was on some show when I was a little... Lighty that I've finished third, but I mean that's another story for another show.
Oh, here you go. Yeah.
But I was doing comedy back and forth in Joburg, and I'd come to Joburg and I'd hear some of my friends be like, "No, they're going to Vega. They're gonna go hear an inspirational talk."
Right.
Why are there no inspirational talks? The talks you get that side. you're not gonna go to a room and listen to a guy for an hour. That's your uncle. That's your drunk uncle. At the wedding.
Yeah. Oh, crazy.
So I'd piggyback with these guys. And then I'm like, what is this place? What is this Vega place? I really want to know about it. I took up the 6-month course.
Right.
They've got these short courses in the evening. I took it up and I did really well.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love this thing, man. And I needed to excel due to certain reasons, due to,
Right.
Fees and whatnot. I needed to excel in my first year. And The lovely lecturer that I had there pushed me to win my first award in my first year.
Look at that.
And it's been amazing since. It's been
that's dope.
It's been but the problem with awards, as in the words of Gordon Cook, they're like pissing on yourself.
Yeah.
Because they're nice for the moment. It's nice and warm.
And then it gets cold and uncomfortable. Yeah.
And you have to go off and pee on yourself again.
Yeah.
Well, in a good way. But
shower references, peeing on yourself. I'm really worried. There's the R. Kelly School of Advertising.
But my body.
Anyway. So
now you guys know why I'm the way that I am. I'm traumatized.
But I mean, speaking of trauma, we're not simple. So was your kind of foray into advertising the same way? I mean, you did say already that, you know, you started out in the land of design. Did you get into it kind of in a similar way that TP did?
Yeah, I mean, initially I wanted to study fashion design.
Hello.
But then my dad, you know, he did the dad thing, half dad thing. He said, okay.
No, I've black dad.
Yeah. He said, okay, you can do design, but let's try graphic, you know, or something like that.
Right, because, he duped you.
Yeah, you know, it was sound advice at the time because... yeah, some industries are harder to break through than others, you know. But anyway, so for me, like, I think my intention, I mean, for a long time in my life, as far as I can remember, was always to do this type of thing.
Right.
You know, but like the manifestation of it wasn't like set in stone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even now I know that this is a stepping stone to another thing, you know. So,
that's great.
So yeah.
And do you think? I mean, I want to just talk about that for a second, because you know you sounded like a consummate Kanye 3.0 out here, because it's exactly that, you know, it's graphic design, and I also know you do some music, right? So graphic design, fashion design, so do you think that we should be tapping more into those spaces, like into the other creative worlds? So like, for example, you know, from the place where you are in school. Mm. So, do you think that there should be more collaborations between places like Vega and Lysol, for example, where you kind of get...
Yeah, I think that if anything, I know it's very important to focus and specialize on a thing, but I think what needs to happen, just touching a little bit on what TP was saying, is as a creative person, whether you're a writer, whether you're a designer, whatever, or musician, whatever.
Yeah.
Your creativity is formed by other creative behavior.
Boom.
So you need to be exposed to multiple sources of creative inspiration, but also like room to fail in other things, you know, because Like, yes, I've dabbled in music, I've dabbled in a little bit of fashion, a little yeah. bit of that. But the thing is, I'm not great at those other things. But that allows me to, you know,
kind of zero in.
Yeah, zero in on the thing that I am better at. But like any human, it gives me room to fail and learn from those things and reapply those things into the thing I actually get paid to do.
That's just dope.
Yeah.
That's just dope. Yeah. I love the sound of that, man. Yeah. That's inspiring stuff. So I think, you know, it's amazing because it feels like we're all telling the stories of a whole bunch of other young that a whole bunch of other young people are actually going through as well, you know. And I mean, how did things like, did you find, Kanye, that when you were in school, you were just with more kids who were a lot like you, or what was is this or is there? Because I remember when I was at AAA, for example, it kind of felt like everyone came from the same high school, if it makes any sense. You know, it felt like it was the same kind of kids who came from a particular group of existence and kind of landed there, save for the one or two, three kids who were there on a scholarship. Everybody else just kind of felt like they were from, you know, Saint Mang Mang. So did it still feel the exact same way for you when you were there? Or is there some kind of change happening? Do you feel like there are more people, you know, kind of diversifying and coloring the space?
I think it's a combination. Like, there's like those kids who are really like turning it into a much more diverse space, but they still sort of come from a place of, I want to say privilege, but like, you know, those schools, unfortunately, you do have to be at like a certain space in your life to be able to go there.
Yeah.
So those of us whose fees were getting paid by corporates,
yes.
we were few. And especially for me, like, firstly, I wasn't straight out of matric. I'd experience life.
Other things. Can we talk about that? Or is that also for the 6 year? Yo, Kanye. Okay, cool. Well, let's leave that one alone for a little bit. But yeah, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. So like for me, it was a pretty bizarre experience because like I just. I don't know. I felt like I walked into.
Yeah, you know what? I think a big shout out to those corporates, though. I think a big shout out to those corporates who are out there making it happen for the kids. For adding that color, for making sure that you know advertising doesn't just come from the same spaces.
I think I can agree with Kanye because when I got to Vegas, as well, I felt the exact same thing. I mean, I'm from Polokwane.
There we go.
Come on, yeah. I came here with the bag. That's all. And you get exposed to this new world where a kid is parking a Ferrari and coming into class. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's fundamentally the first era in our industry that people like myself and other young black kids that can't afford Vega are the ones that should be at Vega.
And
the people that are there are the ones that can afford it. Or maybe I shouldn't be name dropping.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be name dropping the schools. But like the people, you find yourself in a room with someone that doesn't want to be there, but because they can afford it, they're there.
Yeah.
And they've loosened their criteria to let students in.
But don't you think that's like a tertiary institution norm?
I think.
Or do you think it's just more prevalent in these spaces?
I think it's prevalent because if you think about it across the board, whether it's white, black, whatever, you know, ethnicity that you're from, across the board, being a creative is not something most parents invest in, you know, into their children's future. So the challenge comes in where you have a lot of these independent groups, and these independent groups at the end of the day, they're all about the money.
Right.
So what needs to happen is we need to have a much eventually, you know, when we are in that position to do so. A lot of the like first world type of countries, they invest in actual design schools.
Yeah. That's what's up.
That are fully paid off. And that covers all the types of design, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and then that
bars,
means,
eh?
Yeah, bars. Hey, the old money.
What is it? It's Parsons now. Or
RISD.
Yeah,
that's the Rhode Island School of Design, those types of things.
Right. Where the people that have to that qualify for that have to be exceptional.
Not necessarily that they can afford it.
You have to be an exceptional creative and then you get in. Which would change the landscape of South African.
It would be amazing.
Of our industry.
But don't you think that kind of also stems from that problem you have to start solving from high school?
Yes.
You know, because you know, it almost feels like we're saying, you know, these people there's only people that exist and should be going into these schools. Mm. But if I'm in high school and all I'm getting is geography, yeah. biology, and math,
then
we should probably have some kind of. And did you guys like, for example, do art in school or any of that kind of thing?
I did.
There was no arts. Kakwa.
Come on.
They were struggling with textbooks. Yeah. So, I mean,
this textbook thing has been an issue for a while.
Yeah, I know.
like arts was in engineering design.
Technical drawing.
I think the first time I heard of like freaking Basquiat.
Yeah,
imagine,
yeah.
A grown man at like 20 at Vega, hearing about Basquiat for the first time. It's a culture shock, firstly, and there's so many things that come at you, and you're like, Ivana, it's as if there's a door to a new world that you get open to, and you're like, why haven't I had access to this?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, sure, there is the internet and whatnot, but until someone points me in that direction, I really don't know what's up, and I feel hacked about. The north, the true north,
yeah,
not Dallas's north, the true north. Like art that side isn't.
But maybe we shouldn't be calling it art because it's about the arts, you know. So yeah, you know, we touched on the fact that it's kind of a the bigger picture of the arts itself. And and you know what? There's a whole bunch of like of talented people that we know have come out of there. Even in advertising, you know, people like Ray Ray, and then you know, from the very far north, the likes of Napster, you know, and people. So the platform, well, the platform just doesn't exist out there for people to get into advertising, but the arts is alive and well. And it's a big bugbear of mine, what gets to influence the work that we do, not necessarily just coming from our space, and the color that comes from that corner of South Africa is going to be really, really important. So we've chatted, we've spoken quite a bit. Let's take a young break. Let you guys get some water. TP to actually finally settle down, kind of 3/4 of the way into the show, and then when we come back, we'll chat about, you know, what we think is going to be happening in the future of advertising. It's going to be happening in the future of advertising, and where you guys see yourselves as being a part of that. Bitches left me because they thought I was finished. Should have knew she wasn't true. She came to me when a man caught a sentence. Diamonds are blinded. I never make the same mistakes. Moving with a change of pace, lighter load. See, now the king is straight. Swelling my melon because none of these niggas real hurt equal. Telling police, how can a kingpin squeal? This is crazy. I'm on the right track. I'm finally found. You need some soul searching. The time is now. All I need is one mic. One mic. All I need is one mic. And that's it. One mic. Well, I got about 4 on today. Cause you know, I still got those crazy ass people, those crazy ass FCB Africa people with me today. We're still having a great time. Having a fantastic conversation with the guys here about the young folks of advertising who I think advertising kind of lives, you know, in their hands right now, and we should be embracing all that to make sure that, you know, we're on to the big thing. So Tebo, tell me, you know, what are you up to right now? I mean, and what do you like? In fact, let me take a step back. You know, the whole, we have to talk about the Youth Day 76, all that. We'll touch on it, but I think the fact that we find ourselves having this conversation is obviously thanks to all those cats who did all they did back in the day for us to be where we are right now. What do you think the future of advertising is? In the future of South African advertising is, and I know it's a loaded question, but what do you think the future of young people is in the land of advertising, in the current state of what advertising is, you know, with the movement to digital and all that? What do you think that future looks like?
I think, I mean, if we just look at where we are right now as young people, or rather in the world that we live in, you know, the way that young people consume content, whether it's film, whether it's music, whether it's whatever, it's a lot more compact, it's a lot more instant, it's a lot more, it doesn't last as long as we want it to. So I think the way that we, like young people, are consuming things via like Snapchat and all of that, it's going to inform how we do advertising.
That's what's up.
Because at the end of the day, we can't keep going through 3-week review systems to do things. You know, that's not going to work, because by the time you put something out, it's dead.
It's gone.
Yeah. So, wow, that's a proper reality smack, because, you know, we still find ourselves having conversations about, you know, all our timelines have just all shrunk, you know, and you know, we're asked to come out with a 360 campaign. And that 360 campaign needs to be out now, this Friday. So I agree entirely. That they, you know, like for example, if you look at what tabloids have become now, like things like tabloids that come out on a Sunday, it must be chaos in those rooms because everything has been said and everybody has read everything from the week. So you want to wait for Sunday to publish something, it's gone. But that's in the digital space, you know. So I still think, and tell me if you agree or not, that when it comes to like the other elements of a 360 campaign, the time is still going to be hella important. I just think that it's going to be important for us to adapt to that arm that has to be the quick turnaround.
I think that what needs to happen is in the training and preparing of the next generation of advertisers, right? What needs to happen is the approach to it needs to be more focused on, okay, we're having a 360 campaign.
Yeah.
But what are those elements? Does TV have to be the anchor? Does radio have to be the anchor? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So it needs to behave in a way that's organic and authentic to the times.
Got you. Well, to go back to the idea then. Can you shaking your head?
I think it's very easy, like in our spaces, for us to think, oh yeah, digital, that's where we're going. But we're in Africa, fam. And like the majority of the people that we speak to every single day have access to like a radio and a newspaper.
That's true. But I mean, if you look in places like Kenya, they already have amazing infrastructure.
Yeah.
So what I'm talking about is not tomorrow. I'm talking about 5 years, maybe 10, maybe 20 years from now.
Or even sooner, because there's all that free Wi-Fi that's been rolled out, even in this country. You know, I know Pretoria's got that. They're calling it the Twi-Fi. For real. Someone said it's the Twi-Fi. Who is doing creative, guys, out there? Once again, we're getting cut by the trap. Trap music, guys. Trap music is coming for advertising. Things like the Wi-Fi and in Cape Town, apparently in the My City buses, there's free Wi-Fi as well. So we are definitely going in that direction.
But you know what I think of that is that I don't think it's necessarily the medium changing per se. You know what it is? It's how we actually do our work. So let's say an advert, right? They brief us to write an advert that's gonna play for a month. Why can't, let's say something is current right now, why can't I write one spot that's gonna play until Friday while we craft the bigger idea that will play the following 2 weeks?
Right.
A lead up idea into the main big idea. And that'll play on radio and so forth. It doesn't need to change the medium. It's just the way we book out media space for a whole month without even knowing what's actually supposed to be filling that space.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a changing process.
I think that's always been what creatives have always been asking for. Like, stop determining the media plan before you know what the idea is.
Yes.
You know, so you can't come at me with the breeze. Yeah, I got a unison. Yeah. because you know, it kind of predetermines what the idea is, because you already think that, you know, I have to be on TV, but maybe your idea doesn't necessarily have to be anchored on TV to the point that I think Tip was making.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how has that changed the way you approach writing, TP? Do you still come at every brief thinking I need to write a TV ad first, a radio campaign first, or
and like I'll speak to this like in tandem with how Tepo and I both think. Me and Tepo are a creative team together, but like what we do is we actually put the brief aside, and it makes the traffic ladies go crazy. It makes our creative directors lose their minds. But we put the brief aside and we try and find the best idea. And in the first review, creative directors always say, but guys, they said they don't have budget for this. And we're like, Joe, do you like it or not?
Yeah.
Half the time it's like, we like it. Okay, let's present it. And 90% of the time, client always comes back and says, we'll make a plan for budget.
Yeah.
We like the idea. Yeah. And I'm not saying that everyone should go on this rebellious tangent and follow the brief, but I mean, where there's a better idea that lives better than what they've asked for, that's why a lawyer doesn't come with a half-baked plan to you and say, but maybe this might work. You know what I mean? He comes with his best plan and says, this is what's going to cost you. Are you down for it?
And when that runs out, he's just going to do it for free and see if it goes into the sentencing, if it goes into 3 days or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. We need to give our clients the best possible product and then let them figure out what they want to take.
Can you?
I think, though, that's the
chomping,
power.
Chomping, trying to say something.
I think that's the power behind the big idea, though. Because, like, recently, my art director and I, we had to do, like, this thing for a brand, and the people have been struggling with this brief for like ages, and it's so weird, but like we had to go back to basics. It was like we were trying to make TV ads and we were trying to make like, what is the thing that you're trying to say? And never mind the budget, never mind like, okay, it's going to TV now. It needs to be about what are you trying to say and what's the thing that you want people to get out of this, and the medium will actually like just naturally follow through.
And I mean, we get caught up in it. It is that thing. It's not about the medium, it's about the idea.
Right. 'Cause
a lot of the times, I mean, it's good to have points of reference, but we get caught up with this thing where you get a brief and you want to make the same thing that won a Grand Prix at Cannes.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
But you don't even understand what messaging you're trying to get across.
That's right.
Like, even, and maybe we're going to be touching on award season soon, but like, just the idea of writing something beautifully, but it has nothing to do with the person you're talking to.
Yeah,
is actually criminal.
That is going to be a much bigger conversation. Where we're going to need a round table with a whole bunch of people, and we're going to get into. But quickly, you know, this hour flies by. But very quickly, I mean, you know that there have been the predictions about Ken. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any of those predictions. But very very quickly, I mean, I'll start with you, Kanye. What piece do you think, South African piece, do you think is going to do well this year in Cannes?
I mean, look, there's a piece
that you're hoping for.
There's a piece from our building that I think is really dope.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're sitting here, but honestly,
that
Ned Flores radio that these guys made is incredible.
That's what's up.
Like, radio is gonna be so dope this year, I think, especially from South Africans.
Which we consistently are.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah, it's very great to hear.
I think it's so dope. But I don't know if you've heard it, but it's amazing.
No, I haven't. But I mean, it's on its way to Cannes now. So you know. Yeah. So somebody's gonna know about it. And Sebo?
You know, I kind of just browsed through the stuff, but the one thing I took time to really listen to, guys, whoever the guys are at Ogilvy, you need to stop this thing.
Stop it. You what?
You need to stop this man thing.
Yeah.
That thing is a sweet.
That thing is
a sweet.
You're a man.
I know. That thing is dope.
Good.
That thing is hot. And for me, and I know it's gonna sound very biased, but I really think that the Ned Flores campaign that we have is something really special. It made the predictions list as well.
That's dope.
And I mean, let alone Ken, I'm actually not worried about Ken. I want people to hear the Sepedi one. For Luri.
Oh man,
that's amazing.
That's dope. That makes me very happy. That makes me very very happy.
What's crazy about it? If I can have 1 minute for it, is that the campaign does something I don't think anyone has done before yet, where it has an English announcer and the performance is allowed to happen in different languages.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. So the best possible performance in Afrikaans, there's a radio ad with that, but the announcer is English.
He's in English.
And the best performance in Sepedi, the announcer is in English. And it's the weirdest thing to hear, but it actually makes it easier to consume. One of the traffic leaders said, I don't speak Sepedi, but I understand exactly going on in this
That's
ad.
Fantastic.
Also, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but it also comes from that thing that you were saying about the messaging. Like, because it's a clear concept that a lot of people relate to, the language becomes irrelevant.
Right?
What actually matters is you have this anchor, which is an announcer that tells you what's basically happening, and then the rest of it, you have free reign to do whatever you want to do.
That is so dope.
So that's what I think. Ned Flores.
Wow, guys,
some good things.
I think it's amazing. I mean, I browsed through it as well, and I think there's a lot of great work from South Africa. Also a big shout out to all the guys who are going to be judging. I know there's quite a big contingent that's going out there. I think it's going to be an amazing year, and I'm hoping that once again we can reclaim our glory in the land of radio, because we always do well in that space. And once again, the hour's flown by.
Oh man,
it feels like 5 minutes. You know, we just started to chat about these things, and it has to end. So I mean, for everybody that's out there, I mean, we got one or two tweets from some people. Sia Muloy has been coming at us. He's saying that, why do I always suspect Black Sims playlist on his show is from an aux cord to his original Walkman? Walkman? What's a Walkman?
It's the Nas. The Nas gave it away.
It is the Nas.
Yeah.
All right. But I mean, check it out. Check get the podcast. We didn't swear too much, so you can play it for your mom. Yeah. And you know, tweet us. I mean, tweet me at Blacksim and tweet TP at
Tippy Dang.
I'm not on Twitter anymore. Follow me, guys, on Snapchat.
Kanye S.
Snapchat.
What's your handle?
Oh, it's Tepo Musio. Just search it, it'll come up.
Alright, cool. Wow. And Kanye?
Kanye _ EM.
And that's it. I mean, I'm very excited about the conversations that we've had today. Yeah. I think we're on the verge of dope things, and the industry is in really dope hands if you guys are still a part of it. Yeah. So once again, I wish that we are gonna have this conversation again. And I hope the powers that be are listening. And like I say every single day, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having tequila. One.
And cream soda.
Oh, it's never too late.
This is CliffCentral.com.